Well, good evening and welcome back to the Journey Home program. I'm your host, John-Marc Grodi, here on EWTN. And once again, we have this great opportunity to come together to share testimony, share story. This is what we do as Christians. We come together and talk about the good things the Lord has done in our lives. And we're joined tonight by Nora Jensen. She's a former Wiccan. That's not the most usual background that we have on the show here, but thanks for coming to talk to us tonight, Nora.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're really excited to hear your story tonight. So you actually shared your story with the Coming Home Network, I think it was last year in our newsletter.
Yes.
So I think this is the first time that you've shared it in this type of format.
Yes.
Well, thank you for doing it. So I'll invite you to go way back to the beginning. Talk about your childhood and your background.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Colorado in the mountains, surrounded by nature, and we're not Christian at all. My parents, my mom was Lutheran. She grew up Lutheran, and my dad, I think, some kind of Protestant, but that was not something that they passed on to my brother and I. And so I had believed in God, but it was kind of a God created things and then moved on. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a personal God or anything. And I had a very deep devotion to angels. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where those beliefs came from. Okay. They weren't from my parents, I don't think.
And had they fallen away from their faith, or had it never really been something that they'd taken seriously?
I don't think my dad ever took it seriously. Okay. If my mom ever did, that she definitely had fallen away. And so, yeah, we just grew up, we were a tight-knit family. Family was the most important thing for us. But when it came to, especially Christianity, we just really looked down on Christians, mocked them, made fun of them, especially Jesus. I mean, it was just a name to scoff at. So that was passed on.
Okay.
And when I was around 11 years old, my brother and I, we were running around in our, it was a half acre that we lived on, so it was like a field. And we were running around, and we stumbled on a stone circle, a large stone circle that we'd never noticed before. And immediately we thought, well, Satanists must have built this thing, which is interesting to think about now, why we would have thought that. Yeah. So we thought we just need to destroy this. And so we threw as many of the rocks as we could, kicked them out of place, just destroyed it. And then ran inside to talk to my mom and let her know, hey, the Satanists put this stone circle in our yard and we've destroyed it. Don't worry about it. And she just didn't really react, which was weird.
Uh-huh.
So I just kind of went about the day. And later, my dad came home from work, and they called us into their bedroom. And my dad looked at my brother and I, and he had this magnetic sparkle in his eyes. And he said, what if I were to tell you that witches and wizards were real? And my brother and I looked at each other and just rolled our eyes and thought, what is this? And then he kept talking about how they are real, and magic is real. And he and my mom are Wiccans. And Wiccan is a modern witch, and they can use magic, and the stone circle was built by them, and they can teach us, too, if we want. And I was really interested, because I love fantasy, always have, so the fact that magic is real, I'm all in.
Right.
My brother didn't seem to care. So from that point on, my mom, they got me a book. It was a book on Wicca for me to read. It was geared toward teenagers. So it talked about what Wicca was, what it wasn't. It talked about that Christians would try to convert me, and also had that negative view of them. So that was kind of solidified for me. And then it just had a bunch of spells in it that dealt with kind of more teenage angst things. If someone's gossiping about you, there were healing things in there to do. And so I just learned, that was my Bible. I learned from that book mainly.
So interesting, again, as you noted that you had this sense of God, you had sense of angels, you had the sense, again, with your brother to be suspicious of Satanists, that just kind of come from the culture around you or what you read or...
Maybe. I had a strong moral compass, too. Yeah. And I mean, I went to public school, so yeah. Some of the stuff, I don't know where it would have come from. I think the Satanist thing, probably the culture.
Yeah.
We were allowed to watch whatever movies we wanted. as kids, and so we did some of the stuff had Satanists in there. So I'm guessing that's probably where that came from.
And do you have any sense now, just of, I mean, how did this come about in your parents' lives? I mean, maybe you don't know that, but that, how does one get into that kind of stuff? Like, where did that come from in their lives?
I suspect one of my parents had a childhood that was rough. And so what the New Age promises is control. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that in an effort to try to deal with the childhood things, that was, the control was enticing. That, well, these things happened to me because I chose it. And I chose this person that wasn't so nice to me so that I could learn certain lessons. Mm. That's kind of a New Age belief. And so that's what I think.
Gotcha.
Don't know for sure.
You know, that makes sense. You know, that I think behind any religion, any philosophy has sort of the specific tenets, but behind it is sort of the overall narrative of trying to make sense of the world,
mm-hmm.
sense of your experiences, sense of, you know, just how do I look at life and look what's ahead and what's happened and kind of make sense of it. And, you know, if you feel a loss of control,
mm-hmm.
right, trying to make sense of that. I've read elsewhere that in the Middle Ages that really the progression of technology actually came alongside with an increase in some of the occult type of stuff, because I think there's a similar impulse, the sense of trying to have control over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So when we don't have a sense of God. Anyway, well, that's a diversion, digression here. So you have this book and you begin learning about this stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So I was learning spells. I mean, I don't want to go into too much detail anyone who might then get curious. But then there were a lot of experiences then, of course, that came with it. So... do you want me to talk about some of those?
Well, I probably in general terms, like you said.
General,
you
know,
just,
okay. So with magic, that you think you're controlling, mm-hmm. there were times where there were little hints that I wasn't in control for some reason. Like if I performed a spell and then tried to take it off, it didn't come off, which was puzzling to me. I couldn't figure that out. There was experiences. My mom, for example, we were starting to get into tarot card reading, which looks at hidden knowledge of whatever you're trying to learn. And she had done a reading on her sister, my aunt, because she was concerned about her. And at the end of the reading, death was indicated. But she told me, oh, it doesn't mean that she's going to die. It could be the end of something. Well, by the end of the week, she actually died. And so watching my mom then struggle with that and having, I think, the knowledge that it was given to her, but she couldn't do anything about it, mm-hmm. or didn't do anything about it, that stuck with me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an experience with a Ouija board that my dad and I did, and that was really creepy. Mm-hmm. We only did it one time, and then we said, we're done. And even he was like, I'm not doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. So all of the experiences were almost like little warnings,
right.
But I just kind of shoved them aside.
Okay.
I thought, I'll just snorkel on the surface of Wicca. I won't go too deep. My parents had a lot more books on Wicca, and they were more geared toward adults, and I would peruse those as well. But that's where the moral compass stuff started to come in, because I'd read some of the things, some of the rituals, and I thought, no, this isn't right. So I kind of just put that away and stuck with my teen witch book. There was an experience that my mom and I had where we wanted to visit. She told me we could go visit another plane of existence. And it was a specific exercise we were doing. And we were doing it for about half hour and nothing was happening. And then finally, I closed my eyes and I tried again. And I was in a different place. It was like a void. And the only way I can describe it is almost like a billowing fog, but it was red and black. And I couldn't see through it, but I could walk through it. So I kept walking forward through it, thinking the whole premise of me being interested in this exercise was, oh, I might get to like a fantasy land and I could build castles and create something. And so in this plane of existence. And so I thought, I'll just walk through this fog and then I'll get to this land and it'll be interesting. But all of a sudden, this fog, it seemed like it turned into boulders. It just solidified and hardened around me, and I couldn't go anywhere. And before we had started, she had told me, but whatever she was reading had said, don't open your eyes until you come out. For some reason, I don't know. Another warning. And so I was trying to not open my eyes, but I was terrifying. I couldn't go back. I couldn't go forward. I couldn't go anywhere. So finally, my eyes just shot open. And my mom was panicked. She was looking at me, and she said I had been flailing about in the chair. And she said, what happened? And I told her what happened. So she went downstairs on the computer and did more research, and she came back up and said, there were people who reported the same thing that you had, and they said you just have to keep walking, and you'll get through it. And I said, I could not walk through it. It was hard. And I don't know, thinking now, I'm wondering if my guardian angel was protecting me from going further, which is... I'm grateful for now, but at that time she's like, do you want to keep doing it? And I said, no, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, so scary stuff.
It was scary.
Yeah. What happened? What happened next?
I just kept dabbling in spells, and practicing with magic, talking to friends about it. I did have Christian friends, and they were lovely, and they didn't seem to care about me and what I was doing. So we just were friends. We didn't talk about religion. Mm. Other friends were starting to want to become Wiccan with me. I had a good friend who, her father was raised Catholic, but he wasn't practicing at the time. But he, when he found out that I was Wiccan, he said, no, I don't want you guys hanging out anymore. And that was the only Catholic I'd ever heard of. And I thought, well, they're mean and close-minded. And so our friendship kind of fizzled away. Mm. And then other friends did practice Wicca with me, tried to form a coven in high school, which is like a group of witches that do spells together, but didn't really come together, thank God.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty much my childhood, was just practicing Wicca, but not really growing in it. Yeah. Again, because of the warnings and not wanting to. I mean, there were other books I had. People ask about like white magic or black magic. Mm-hmm. It's all black because it's not of God. But when I was Wiccan, I didn't believe that. I believed that as the only moral code in Wicca was to do no harm. And whatever you do, you'll get back times three. So you don't want to do bad things because then you'll just bring bad things upon yourself. But there was no definition of what's bad, what's good. And I did have a book that I had gotten that had spells in it. And at the back of it, I was puzzled by this because there were black magic spells and it had warnings on it. Don't do these. But then they were there, how to do them, what you needed. And I thought, why is this here? If we're not supposed to do this, why make it known? Mm-hmm. And so little questions like that would form in my mind.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't really peruse them too much. I just stayed away from it.
Again, you said, you know, you had a sense of a moral compass and you had a desire for, the supernatural, mm-hmm. right? For the meaning, for the fantasy, to kind of know why things were. It seems like, I think sometimes even our Catholic faith, our Christian faith, we present it poorly in ways that don't answer some of those deep questions. Mm-hmm. Young people's mind, they have a sense, again, there's got to be something more, something bigger. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think the faith is, you know, presented in ways that don't answer those deep questions. Mm-hmm. You were getting answers to those questions, but not really the answers that you wanted. But
yeah,
but you were reaching for something. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. I was. And when I got into college, my faith kind of took a back seat.
Okay.
I found jujitsu. And made friends, and faith really took a back seat. And they were very like-minded, didn't like Christianity, didn't like Christians. We got along really well, and we would joke that jiu-jitsu is our religion. And so it was about 2 years of that when all of a sudden jiu-jitsu got kind of boring, and I started just feeling empty. Like there was something more, like you said. And I realized that this was... like a God-sized hole. And I think I realized that because of the moral compass I had. Mm-hmm. I knew that people would fill their empty holes with drugs or sex or alcohol or partying. And I just hadn't done those things and had seen enough to know not to start.
Right.
And so I thought, well, I got to find God. But where is God? And I had taken a class in college on Eastern philosophy and religion, and it just, I just didn't, it sounded a lot like New Age.
Right.
And I thought, no, that's not where God is.
And where were you studying? And what
University studying? Of Colorado in
okay.
Colorado
Springs.
So you're
still out in Colorado
yes.
at this point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, and I knew that Jesus had nothing to do with God. I wasn't even going to look him up.
Okay.
No Christianity, nothing. Which really just kind of left me with Wicca. It was all I knew. So I took out my book, my teenage witch book, and I dusted it off and I opened it. And it started off with a creation story. And in Wicca, it's a goddess is the main. And then there's a god too. And then whatever gods you want to pull from Egypt or Greek or Rome, whatever. And I was reading it and I just thought, this just doesn't make sense. How do we know that this is, who wrote this? And kept reading and got to the spells, and it's all teenage stuff, and I'm no longer a teenager. I was 21. And I thought, this is just not my concern anymore. I don't care about these things. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just practice the kind of spells that I know and contemplate on who God is and try to find him that way. I don't know. And so I worked at Dillard's at the time. And I actually worked in the camera room in loss prevention. And I saw this really handsome guy on the camera. And I thought, I want to meet that guy. Uh-huh. And so it's easy when you're the camera girl. You can just see where he is and follow him. I went to the area where he was working because I had a friend over there. So I went to go say hi to her. And she introduced us. And his name was Dane. And we lived in the same apartment complex, too, on the same floor in the same building. And so got to talking, got to know each other a little bit more over time, and he asked me out on a date. And so he took me out to dinner, and religion came up. And I said, well, you know, what are you? And he said, oh, I'm Catholic. And I just went, oh, no, you're not Catholic, no. And it was just really appalled. I hope I held it in, but I felt just disgusted on the inside. And then he asked me, well, what are you? And I said, well, I'm Wiccan. And inside I'm going, oh, no, I'm not. This is not fit. But I had decided before when I closed my book and thought, okay, I'm just going to contemplate God, try to find him that way. I had decided that if God exists, that he was the most important thing and I needed to live like he was. So if Wicca is where God was, then I needed to live it. So I told him as convincingly as I could, well, I'm Wiccan. And he didn't run away, which was really surprising. Mm-hmm. So that I think that kind of softened my heart a little bit. Like, oh, yeah. Here's a Catholic that's not leaving and cutting off ties. And so we finished out the dinner and then started dating. And then religion came up again later on. And this time, instead of telling him about Wicca, I told him about what I thought about God, who I thought God was, what happens when we die? What's the journey of our soul? And everything I said, he's like, oh, that's what the Catholic Church believes. And I'm like, really? And after several times of him saying this, I thought, okay, I need to look into this Catholic Church. And I went back to my apartment and pulled up a Wikipedia page. And it was like a different language. I can't even remember how it started. I think it was talking about Jesus and something about a Trinity. And it was so foreign that I couldn't even read anymore. I thought, this makes no sense. Yeah. Like, I can't. And so close the page. But we were dating more. And he wanted to bring me to Arizona to meet his family. And so they knew that I was Wiccan. I knew they were Catholic. I was very nervous. But when I got there, they were just beautiful. The way that they lived their life, I knew it was from their faith. Religion didn't come up at all. They were so loving, so welcoming. And so that also softened my heart a little bit right. to these Catholics that invited me in.
You'd mentioned that one experience of having the childhood friend's father disassociate. But up to that point, what was your impression of the Catholic Church, if there was one at all. Because in some sense, I mean, obviously Christianity and Wiccan, you knew that there was an antagonism there, but in many ways that we maybe talk about later, Catholicism is that much more in spades, right? Like it's much more counter to that and really answers a lot of the things going on there. What was your, do you have a sense of it really?
No, not
just
that I can
kind
think
of. Unknown
of.
Quantity.
Yeah, or and I think it was negative because yeah. I knew it had something to do with Christianity. We grew up next to Mormons, actually, and if they ever talked about Catholicism, I might have gotten more negativity from that. They did take me to a service of theirs once that I was interested in going, and that was interesting, but it just I wasn't going to become Mormon. So yeah, I don't know if I had much.
But this was a good experience meeting this family. Who
it was a wonderful experience. Okay. Yes, yeah. It was. And so, after we got back, Dane's mom said, you know, you should really take Nora to Catholic Mass. And so he thought, okay. And there's a cathedral in downtown Colorado Springs, and he wanted to take me there because he knew it would be beautiful and wanted it to be a big experience if I could go. So I said, all right, I'll go, which I surprised myself by saying I would go. And we went, and I don't remember a whole lot. What I remember, the first thing I remember was how polite the ushers were, the people inviting us in. I didn't know they were ushers at the time, but they were just smiling at me, so happy I was there. And when we got into the Mass, we kind of sat more toward the front so I could see what would happen, what had happened. And he told me before we got there, just kneel when I kneel, sit when I sit, stand when I sit, or stand when I stand. Don't take the Eucharist. And at this point, I thought, why not? Why can't I take the Eucharist? And then he told me it's because you're not Catholic. You don't believe what they believe. And I accidentally skipped over the Mormon part before, but that made a lot of sense to me because when I had gone to the Mormon service with my friend, when I was a kid, they hadn't told me what to expect. But when they gave out communion, I saw there was crackers and little cups of water. They were passing it out on a tray. And I just instinctively thought, I'm not taking that. I don't think I should take that. I don't believe this, so I shouldn't take it. Right. But they seemed puzzled when I didn't take it at the Mormon service. So when Dane told me that's why I shouldn't take the Eucharist, then it just was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
But you knew kind of what it was. Not really.
No.
Because maybe this isn't the case in Wiccanism. Certainly, I think in like Satanist type of stuff, there is more of a sense of knowing what's the Catholic Mass is and the Catholic stuff is.
Sort
of an urban version of that. That wasn't your experience in the Wiccan.
Not at all.
Okay, so maybe.
Yeah, in Wicca, we believed that we didn't even believe in Satan. We said we, gotcha. Because we believed that to give evil a name is to give it power, which doesn't make sense now. But so there was no sense of that at all. Didn't know what it was. But with the Mormon service, it was very obviously set apart from the rest of it.
Right.
And it just seemed pretty special, whatever it was. So I could accept that from Dane pretty easily after that. Yeah. And so during the Mass, I just followed along with him. And then it was the most significant point was that the sign of peace. Mm. So when the deacon said, let's give each other the sign of peace, I just looked at Dane, like, what is this? And he looked at me and he just said, peace be with you. And he gave me a hug. And then I watched him turn to the people around him and give them the sign of peace. So I turned to the people around me. And they were already turned toward me. Several people were with their hands outstretched. And they shook my hand and they said, peace be with you. And I thought, I have made fun of you people. I have mocked you and your God. Why are you wishing me peace? And they don't know that. But I knew that. I knew that Jesus knew it. And I felt like my soul was bared open. And we were just looking at it. And I felt like, how are you not striking me down in your house? And I just felt so ashamed to be shaking these people's hands and have them be so kind. But then I felt just this love coming from outside of me toward me from God, from Jesus, his love and his mercy. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is God. This is what's filling the hole. And I knew I'm home.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
I can never talk about it without crying.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't remember the Eucharist, but I'm sure I did this. Dane told me to do that. At all. And I just remember coming home on the drive home and being very quiet. And I knew I want to be Catholic. But I didn't tell that to Dane right away. Yeah. And didn't even know what's this going to entail. What does this mean? And so as the years went on, we ended up getting married. And I signed the papers. I'm going to raise my kids Catholic. I'm not Catholic yet, but I knew I would be. And I was very happy to sign those papers. And we tried to go to RCIA at a parish that was close to our home, but it just didn't really work out. When we got there, we were walking through this room with all these people, and there was a whole bunch of other people sitting, and they were watching a show of some kind, and it was talking about the Catholic Church. And I just stopped and started watching. And the people who are running the RCIA said, no, you have to keep going. This isn't the room for you. You need to go to the inquiry room. And we get to the inquiry room, and we were just sat in a circle, and they're like, what questions do you have? And I thought, everything. Everything's a question. I can't formulate the words of my question. I don't have them. I just want to know everything. And I just felt frustrated because they didn't seem to understand that. They wanted a specific question from me, and I didn't have one because everything was a question.
Well, you know, let's take a little break there, and we'll pick it back up and,
okay.
On that journey because we're getting the halfway point. But thank you so much for sharing your story so far. We'll be back in just a couple minutes to hear the rest of Nora's story. And again, there's actually a written version of her story that you can check out at chnetwork.org/story. And if you go there, you'll see that we have a whole archive there of all sorts of stories. You know, if you're someone who's investigating the Catholic Church or asking questions, perhaps, perusing RCIA like Nora was, check out chnetwork.org/story. Put in your background. You'll find a story from someone very similar to you and some good food for thought there. So we'll be back in just a couple minutes to hear the rest of Nora's story. See you then. Well, welcome back to the Journey Home program. We're entering the second half of our hour tonight, and we've been speaking with Nora Jensen. She's a former Wiccan, and she's been sharing her story tonight, and you can check out a written version of her story at chnetwork.org. But when we left off, Nora, you just shared, the very, very touching experience of going to Mass with your then boyfriend or fiancé. I don't remember in the narrative at that point.
I think still boyfriend.
Still boyfriend, yeah. But your first Catholic Mass, and mm-hmm. as you noted, just being very touched by really the upset expectations. You'd always had this image of Christians as all sorts of things that it turned out that experiencing their kindness, the welcome, the warmth there, really upset your expectations, and so that touched you. You'd begun to explore RCIA a little bit, but talk a little bit more just about, in this process as you guys moved and you explore RCIA, what were some of the changes that were happening in terms of your sense of God and religion and faith?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I surprisingly didn't still look too much into what the Catholic Church taught.
Okay.
I just knew that that's where Jesus was.
Okay.
And having that experience at my first Mass, I just wanted to go where he was. Mm-hmm. And I never questioned why do I think he's in the Catholic Church until maybe through RCIA toward the end of it, really. Mm-hmm. Learning history, I think, was it that said to be steeped in history is to cease being?
Yeah, St. John Henry Cardinal Newman.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was more just knowing that God loved me, and I want to be his sheep. I just want to follow him.
Well, and that was very new, right? Because up to this point, you had a sense of spirituality.
Yes.
Of power, of the supernatural. But now you've come to recognize a personal God that loves you. I mean, that was a big shift, a big difference.
Huge.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very big. And so I was praying to God, but hadn't learned any of the Catholic way of praying.
Sure.
And so we would go to Mass sporadically, mm-hmm. here and there. But yeah, I guess yeah. I didn't really look too okay. much into, which seems kind of weird now.
Well, again, people's journeys happen in different ways. And,
yeah.
you know, in some sense, and we have faith seeking understanding. So sometimes, you know, for many people, in some way or another, our first encounter is just with the reality of God
mm-hmm.
and his love for us. Another thing I was thinking, again, you'd mentioned a couple times in your childhood having this moral sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you have a sense now of, oh, this is where that comes from? That this is... God is the source of that.
Yeah, to mm-hmm. find the morality matching up
yeah.
was nice to yeah. see that, oh, okay, this is, maybe that was just God-infused.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought so.
Okay, well, so you kept exploring. So what happened next in terms of looking into the RCA program?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, to go back, I just thought of something.
Sure. Yeah.
Being in college, I kind of had switched my track of study
okay.
to more of the sciences, and one of the things that was a big revelation for me was I was studying cell replication, DNA replication, and just the method of how that happens and all the little proteins that are involved and how that goes back and fixes mistakes. And I just remember looking up and going, well, this is proof for God. And so I guess maybe where I wasn't so much looking into the Catholic Church, I was looking at the natural world and seeing the order and having that also verify to me that God does exist and he loves us. He created this DNA yeah. replication that works the way that it does. So for me, that was big.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when after Dane and I got married, and we got married in the Catholic Church, we stayed in Colorado for a few years and then got pregnant with our son. And so we moved to Arizona so that he could work with his dad. And when we got there, it was my in-laws that talked to me about RCIA, and I still kind of pushed it away a little bit. I remember I was driving my father-in-law to go pick up his car from the shop, and he started asking me about it, and I just said, no, it's not now, maybe later. I'm going to have a baby. It's going to be too hard. And he was so insistent that I got really irritated, actually, with him, and I finally just gave in and said, fine, I will try it. Just stop talking about it. Leave me alone. And it was so such a blessing. The first night of RCIA was just me because the other people couldn't make it that night. And it was me and the catechist and my in-laws. And it was this one-on-one conversation, totally different than the RCIA experience I had before. Mm-hmm. But to just be able to again talk about, this is what I think God is like, and to have her say, this is what the Catholic Church believes, and to get more feedback,
yeah.
It was a game changer.
Yeah.
And then other people came into the class, and being able to learn about the Catholic Church, it was amazing. And I loved every minute of it. When my son was born, took him with me. It was totally easy. But I think the things that shocked me about the Catholic Church was how involved in everything it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me at the time, and I think still even now, social justice is huge on everybody's radar.
Right.
And at the time, it was being shoved down my throat in ways that I couldn't quite agree with,
mm-hmm.
Some of the narratives. And so learning about how the church views social justice, invented it, really, and how talking about the dignity of people, and it was a beautiful thing for me to learn about that. A hiccup for me was confession.
Okay.
I really felt like that was a violation of privacy. Didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but trusted as well. If the Catholic Church has this much good stuff,
yeah.
then maybe I need to rely on that and be more open. Yeah. And the first confession that I did mm-hmm. was just the weight that got lifted off, the way I felt. Then it sealed it for me. I said,
yeah.
okay, so this is God's peace again, feeling that. And now I can see the value in something like this.
Yeah, you know, I feel like there's a thread there just in this. I think sometimes people's conception of religion, and even the way that many people practice their Catholic faith, their Christian faith of whatever particular denomination they're in, it can stay in a box, right? Mm-hmm. They can live it and think of it in a box. But what was being presented to you was a worldview, a faith that really touched everything,
mm-hmm.
right? So it felt like a violation. It felt like, you know, to bring my sins to God through the priest my faith, my spirituality going a lot further than it had, but it was being presented as this faith that touches everything in mm-hmm. our lives. Yeah.
Yeah, it truly is a lens to see everything through. Mm-hmm. And I like to think of the Catholic Church as a lighthouse yeah. in the fog. And if you just keep your eye on it, stay there, then she's going to guide you. Mm-hmm. It's when we start wandering away that yeah. we get lost.
Yeah. Well, in your studying science too, you had that sense too, right? Now faith is this lens where you're seeing the mm-hmm. whole world, the whole created world. Well, it's just filled with God.
Yes.
With his design, with his presence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, were there any other aspects of the church as you went through RCAA that surprised you or were very different or difficult to work through or maybe things that you really liked that you hadn't expected there?
Well, I had mentioned in my story about mm-hmm. the Eucharist.
Yeah.
That definitely also developed after RCIA as well.
Yeah.
But the learning what the Eucharist was at first kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
But then realizing what a gift that is, especially being able to take my first communion. And one of the things I think about often is when I first was received into the church, it was at the Easter Vigil. And after I got baptized and received my first Holy Communion, my father-in-law was so excited. He came up to me and he said, "How did you feel after you took communion?" And I said, "No, fine." And he said, "Did you feel anything?" And I said, "No, should I have?" And he was surprised. And I thought, what's wrong with me? I just received God. Why didn't I feel anything? And I was praying and praying, "God, show me why I'm not feeling anything. What's going on?" And I started crying and tearing up every single time I took the Eucharist. And my husband would be like, "Are you okay?" at every Mass. And I'm like, "I don't know why I'm crying." And then it wasn't until I read St. Ignatius's Discernment of Spirits,
yeah.
where he says consolation is one of the ways he calls that is movement of the Holy Spirit, of tears, of things that are holy.
Yeah.
So I said, "Okay, God, I get it. Can I please stop crying now at every single Mass?"
Right.
But the Eucharist is such a gift.
Yeah.
And the food that the fact that God wants to be our food spiritually and physically and walk throughout every day if we are able to take it, but every week, like the manna in the desert for the Israelites, it's just, I think about it a lot. And it's,
yeah.
I think it's a mystery that will always be a mystery that is just, has so much richness to it. And being able to contemplate on that is a...
Yeah.
I just contemplate on it a lot.
I think St. Ignatius's Discernment of Spirits, that's a real helpful book.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot more people should be reading
mm-hmm.
To understand, you know, so we have the faith, the objective faith, what's true, what we believe, what we do, but then there's our experience of it and connecting those together and understanding some of the contours of that. We don't always have a lot of good coaching on that. And Ignatius is a great... But did you read the book itself?
Or
did you have a class on it?
I listened to, okay. I forgot his name now, but there's a priest who...
Yes.
Father Tim?
Timothy or... Gallagher, I believe.
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I listened to his podcast on it, but I have the book and I need to read it
yeah.
to brush up again.
I think it's really helpful because, again, I think part of what we recognize as we mature in the spiritual life is we begin to recognize both the ways that consolation, you know, the movement of the spirit, the sense of God's presence, that's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And we're grateful for it when it comes, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the desolation, or at least the withdrawal of God's sensible presence, that also we learn sometimes to our chagrin over time. That too is a gift.
Yes, it is.
Because some growth happens.
Yes,
you know
it does.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So coming through RCIA,
yeah.
coming into the Catholic Church, greatest gift of my life.
Beautiful. When did that? When did you finally come in? What was the
2015?
2015. Okay,
yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, talk about what happened after there and what has happened since.
Well, after that, so my family wasn't thrilled
okay.
that I was going to become Catholic.
That's right. We haven't checked in on with them for a while. Yeah.
Yes.
What did they think of all that?
One family member begged me not to become Catholic because they believed that having organized religion and subscribing to any kind of dogma was very limiting
okay.
and that we're so much more than this.
Mm.
And so, well, we have a lot of really good conversations.
Right.
And even up until for a while after I became Catholic, I didn't really think that the New Age or Wicca was bad. That was one thing with the church. I thought, I just think they're wrong. Mm. We weren't bad. I mean, I talked about we weren't the, you know, we had mocked them, but I guess not to their face. I don't know. There's no excuse. Yeah. But we didn't wish ill on anybody. We weren't evil people. We did good things. Mm-hmm. And so, and my family are wonderful people. And so I thought, I just think the Catholic Church doesn't know what she's talking about fully on this. And then I was talking to my family member who begged me not to become Catholic. And we, there, just in the news, there had been that co-pilot that crashed the airplane into the French Alps and killed like 144 people. And we were just shocked. It was so sad. And then they said, but really those people chose to die that way. So we don't need to feel such sorrow for them because they chose it. And I thought, well, this doesn't make any sense to me. And I started asking questions like, well, if they chose this, why were they terrified? Why weren't they happy or at least accepting that, well, I chose this, let's get it over with kind of thing. There was not a good answer for that. I said, if they chose this, what if, does that mean that we're just robots then? We can't change our mind if our, because it's a New Age belief that your souls choose your life path before you are born.
Gotcha.
But then we can't change our mind. Mm-hmm. And then there were babies on board and they had no choice on whether or not they got on or off.
Yeah.
So I started to wonder about the New Age after that conversation. And one of the big things for my loved one and my family member is there's people, I think they're called maybe mediums or something, but they have claimed to channel other spirits. And then those writings get written down. Mm-hmm. And so my family member has these books, a lot of them, that's the Bible for them. And they had shared some of them with me and I had perused them a little bit. But I started to think that mindset was taught by this entity, this spirit that my family has subscribed to. How do we know that this entity is really good? And I started to think maybe this entity is a demon, really. And so I got online and I Googled it. And couldn't really find a whole lot about anyone else saying this. And then I ended up on a forum, and finally one person said, this entity is a demon, and they recommended a book called Inside the New Age Nightmare by Randall Bear. I would recommend reading that for anyone who's interested in what the New Age is, because he was a huge presence in the New Age for 15 years, wrote books that were channeled information from spirits, and then had a conversion, a very harrowing conversion for him. And in the book, he goes through every single aspect of the New Age and talks about why it's not good, why it's evil. And I learned more about the New Age from that book than I ever did when I was in it.
Yeah.
And it just confirmed my suspicions where I thought, okay, this is bad. The church is right on this. And so he recommended if you've been in the New Age, purge all your paraphernalia. Yeah. It'll take months. And I thought, no, it won't. I don't have that much. Oh my gosh, I had so much stuff. It was in every nook and cranny. I couldn't believe it. So I was throwing away my crystals, throwing away my cards, books, everything I had. And there were a couple things I had. I had some jewelry and I had to throw those away multiple times because they just kept coming back. Which was creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the conversations are interesting with my family. I mean, I don't just come right out and say, you're subscribing to it, you're listening to a demon. But I try to ask questions like, how do you know this is a benevolent spirit?
Well, I mean, let's try to give a little bit of like a summary again from your experience and your reading now, reflecting back on this, especially for people out there who, again, they have the sense of the transcendent, sense of the spiritual. They're interested, they're attracted to that. And again, they're seeing it from that side. Well, what's the big deal? This is not evil. This isn't Satanism. We don't even believe in Satan. You know, this is just, you know, what's your understanding, again, of that, what that person's longing for, but the reality of what New Age is? Like, what would you say?
I would say what we fill our minds with, what we contemplate, We're either contemplating the things of God or we're not. And if you're not contemplating the things of God, how can you draw closer to him? And I realize that Satan does not need us to be sacrificing babies in the middle of the woods in a weird ritual to be happy. If we're just constantly thinking about how I'm creating my own reality, which is big in the New Age, or if we're thinking about magic, how can I read certain signs to discern hidden information? That's not going to draw you closer to God. And Satan is happy with you being right there.
Right.
Especially if you think he doesn't exist and you're just fine because you're not doing overtly evil things. There's still, it's almost like a lukewarmness. There was another quote, it might be in scripture, but I should know that. But where, was it Jesus that said, or someone said, it's easier to have a hot or cold person. It's harder with lukewarm.
I think it's in Revelation, I believe.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will spit you out of my mouth. Be either hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that lukewarmness of, I'm okay, I'm not doing anything bad.
Right.
And that's where my family's at too, that they don't need these specific things. They don't need these sacraments because they're on their own journey. And what's wrong with that? And I think God is working in their lives for sure. Mm-hmm. But there's a very real danger with the New Age, because you're specifically doing things that God tells us not to do, dabbling in the occult. I have family members that read horoscopes, and that's trying to glean that hidden information. Where are you getting that information from? So you're not listening to God. You're listening to entities that have written books. If you're reading their books, you're reading words from demons. They don't have your best interest in mind. It might not sound all that bad on paper. Right. It's not telling you to do evil things, but the books that when I would peruse them, they really talked about how we create our own reality and how you can, the exercises that you can do to help you understand that better and to create even better, creating, you know, good things for yourself. That's a big thing too. Right. With I think The Secret is out there where if you think about it enough, it'll come into existence, kind of thing.
Right. You mentioned earlier again that you were into fantasy and fairy stories as a kid, you know. We both have kids now, and so, you know, kids begin to ask those questions. Okay, what's the difference between this fairy tale universe I'm reading about and our universe, and there's magic and magic? And those are good questions, because part of what we have to recognize and talk to our kids about is just, well, yeah, so we can look at that fairy tale universe and we can see, okay, it has these rules and laws and these entities, and that's how that universe, and we can read about it and it's interesting and we can imagine it. The question is, what kind of universe do we live in?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of fairy tale do I live in? Mm-hmm. Right? What does magic mean in our world? Magic is very different in a Narnia story,
yes,
a Harry Potter story, than it is in our world. The question is, what is our world like? You know, and it's not just what I make it up to be in my mind. There is power. There is supernatural power in our universe. It's God, and then it's everything else, right? If you're not with God, the other forces out there aren't, as you said, don't have your best interest in mind.
No, and that was something I realized too, because I had to ask that question.
Yeah.
What does that mean for the experiences I had with magic that worked, even if it didn't work totally the way I wanted it to? And again, I think it comes back to where, if Satan's happy where you're at, he'll give you just enough to make you, to keep you there. If I had done these spells and they never worked, then I would have said, well, this is garbage. I'm not going to stick with this. But because I had little verifications along the way, okay, I can stick with this and I'll keep trying so that it'll work exactly the way I want it to next time. Or if something backfired, I must not have done it right, or I need to do more. I need to learn more.
You know, I think that's, if I recall correctly, that's one of those lessons in the in Ignatius, in the Discernment of Spirits, that when we're moving away from God, right, what the devil lures us into is that lukewarmness, to be content, to not ask questions, to stay just kind of comfy and cozy in our comfort zone. And it's God who sort of pricks us and invites us out on a journey. And then as we begin to move towards God, it flip-flops.
Yes.
Whereas now, well, as we draw closer to God, we find some of that consolation in Him, mm-hmm. and the anxiety is coming from the other mm-hmm. the other side, right? But yeah, as you said, the devil wants us to remain complacent and comfortable when we're away from God. Even if it seems like it's good stuff, it's keeping us from true selflessness, true charity, true love, the true happiness that God's made us for.
Yes. Yeah, and that's a good point, too, is learning about the virtues now that I...
Yeah.
Oh, I love them.
And oh, my gosh, we should talk about this 4 minutes before the end of the program. Go for it, though. I love the virtues.
But that was never anything that yeah. was in Wicca or the New Age. It was never working on virtues. It was always working on increasing your power.
Right.
And yeah, so I just realized that really what the New Age is, yeah. it's the forbidden fruit in different packaging. You right. will be like God. You can control everything. You can create just like God. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty scary when you realize that's the same promise that yeah. is right there in Genesis.
Well, bringing up the virtues, I think, is appropriate there, because I think that original temptation to something out, grasping at something outside of ourselves, apart from God, for power, for knowledge, for control. Again, we can see the thread there with technology sometimes, yeah. with the occult. But it's a replacement for what God's already giving and has given us, which is He's given us a heart. Mm-hmm. We can grow in virtue. We can grow in freedom and creativity and love. But that's in here. We got to work with God in here,
yeah.
Not grasp for power out there.
Right. Right. Yes.
Yeah, I think the lack of the virtues are sometimes, again, it's part of not always presenting the faith as a whole package mm-hmm. in ways that answer the longings on people's hearts. Mm-hmm. I think some people probably get into that stuff. They have a sense they want to grow, they want to build, they want to transcend, they want to move, they want to progress. But they don't really know what that means even in their Christian context. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the lack of the virtues are part of the issue sometimes.
That could be.
The fullness of that teaching.
Yeah.
A few minutes left. If you would talk just a little bit more. Again, now you're Catholic, you have children now in the church.
Yes.
You know, you grew up, your spirituality was spells and those the esoteric books and everything. Talk about now your relationship with God, your family, prayer as a family.
Yes.
What does that look like now?
Well, we homeschool, and we're very lucky. We've fallen into an amazing homeschool community where we live. And so I have so much example with liturgical living, yeah. with the virtues. There's curriculum on virtues, which is great for me yeah. and the kids. So what I love about the Catholic Church is there's no shortage of learning about it. And my hunger is insatiable. I have so many books that I'm still needing to read, but I keep collecting. I'm learning more about my faith. I definitely believe I'm better off. I'm a better mother. I'm a better wife and friend and daughter and person because of my Catholic faith and that striving with the virtues every day. And it is a struggle.
Yeah.
But knowing that I'm on that path now is, it's a priceless, it's a gift.
Yeah.
And so, and one really neat thing, if I can say really quick, mm-hmm. since even I wrote my story, is my brother, who I never would have thought, but he's starting, he would say that he's Christian now,
yeah.
But he's even starting to evangelize our family.
Oh.
With Christianity, and I'm like the little miracles mm-hmm. that I've been able to see God work in my life, and continue to work, are those consolations,
yeah.
and it's an adventure, and it's a lot of fun to be able to see how He works, how it's playing out in our lives, and with my brother, even I just never would have thought that he could have ever believed in Jesus or accepted Him, and. God he has a sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, adventure is a great summary word for our relationship with God.
Yes.
Right? It's got that, the element of journey and progress and striving. But the bigger picture, of course, is that a lot of it's beyond our control. Mm-hmm. You know, God's in control, though. And so mm-hmm. we hitch our wagon to Him, and then we trust and we progress on. And
yes.
You know, the many miracles along the way.
And it's more freeing to yeah. know that, oh, I don't actually control my reality, because if I controlled it, why is it so chaotic, or why is it not working out the way I want to? It's having that mindset is very condemning and accusatory. Which who do yeah. we? Who's the accuser?
Yeah.
And so now being able to just give it up and go, I'm not in control. This is God. It's more freedom.
Wonderful.
Being Catholic.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Nora, for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Having the courage to do that. And thank you for joining us for this episode of the Journey Home program. I pray that Nora's story was an inspiration to you. Again, if you have that sense, like she described, you know, the sense of the transcendent, of the supernatural, this longing in your heart, our invitation would be to read the gospel, to come to know Jesus Christ. Ask him into your heart. Pray for him to come to have an encounter with him, because he loves you. And he's calling you. So God bless you. We'll be back again next week with another story. Until then, God bless you.